Amen. Thank you, worship team. Let's give God some praise tonight. And you can have your seat. So, you know, I just want to thank Pastor Danny for allowing me to speak behind his pulpit. You know, I consider it an honor. I don't take it lightly. And I understand what goes into preparing a message. And I have the most respect and love for my pastor, Pastor Danny, because what he does, and he does it every single Sunday, what he's really doing is saying, God, deal with me so that I can deal with them. Some of us don't like to be dealt with. Can I get an amen? Or are we too holy in this house? You know, so I was reading this word, and it's funny because when Pastor Danny asked me to speak, I had been looking into and just reading, you know, a certain portion of Scripture and just getting into it and diving a little deeper. And what happened is when he called me today, he says, hey, he goes, would you be willing to speak? I said, sure. Reluctantly, right? Because you know what that means. You say, okay, God, deal with me so I could deal with them. But the thing is, when you allow God to deal with you, you have to open your heart. And when you open your heart, what happens is God will sometimes pull things out that either you didn't want to bring out or maybe you didn't know were there. So I've been broken for a few hours because God was dealing with me. Are we ready to be dealt with this evening? So what I wanted to do is, again, just really get into the word, because I wanted to bring out the word. I wanted to bring out the spirit of the context, you know, because some preachers, I heard this saying, some preachers use the Bible as a drunk uses a lamppost, more for support than illumination. I don't ever want to be that person, because when you're up here, you're accountable to God. You're speaking his word, and I would want to do it with the most clarity and power and the direction that he feels that this should go. I believe that there's a word here for somebody tonight. It was a word for me earlier. It's still dealing with me. So I pray that you're blessed by it. But what we want to do is we want to open up in a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity, Father, not only to grow closer to you, Father, but also in faith, my God. Father, tonight your servant is ready, my God. Lord, that you would use me, speak through me, my God. Father, that I would decrease as you increase, Lord. Father, your word doesn't need a crutch, my God. Father, that you would steady my hand, my mind, Father. Let me speak clarity, my God. Let me deliver this word as you have dropped it in my spirit, my God. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you for sending your son Jesus for what he did at that cross, my God. Lord, we're not worthy here tonight, Lord. But Lord, you love us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. So if you want to open up your Bibles to 2 Kings, and we're going to be going to chapter 13, verse 15. The Word of God reads, for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and read it. There's a clock up there that's shouting at me, so I'm going to. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows, and he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground, and he struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated the Aram, or defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. So King Joash was already down. He was going through some stuff. Have you guys ever felt like just, man, almost half-heartedly, like you're here, but you're not here. You're here physically, but yet you're not all invested. Now, King Joash, he was already, going through it, and what he was doing is he was going to see Elisha, the prophet, because he needed encouragement. He needed counsel. Now, if you look at King Joash, the king of Syria, it says that the king of Syria oppressed Joash. Now, that word oppression means to have authority over somebody, to dominate. So, in other words, he had this guy kind of scared, right, and cowarding and like, oh, my gosh, tormenting, right? Not only that, but the Syrians had invaded and taken land from him. Now, you got to remember that this is a king. And what he's seen is he's seen battles. He's seen God deliver him from the hands of other people and had been in different battles, and God had given him victory. You know, so what he was doing is he was going and he needed counsel. He needed direction. He needed help. You know, some of us sometimes can be going through that, you know, where maybe something's happening and we don't know what to do. So what we want to do is we want to go get counsel. A lot of the times we're going to go for the counsel of a man of God, you know, and that's where we should be. Joash knew that he needed to seek out a prophet, a man of God. You know, sometimes what we do is, on the other hand, because of now and technology, we can go and seek the counsel of like Facebook or Instagram or even those people that maybe aren't in the church. But see, he knew better. So when he went to seek the counsel of a godly man. He was overwhelmed. He had nowhere to go. Now, when you're like this, it's weird because I don't know if you've ever been like that, to where you're like, man, like I said, you're here, but you're not here. And what happens is you're almost in autopilot mode where, yeah, you're showing up, but yeah, you can't be effective because you're not all invested. You're not effective. So what happens is, yes, you're here, and you can be here worshiping out the altars outwardly, but inwardly, you're falling apart. Now, if you look a little bit about Joash, what Joash was, it says he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but he was walking in sin. But the victories came from God's mercy. So maybe some people here today are walking in God's mercy. And as I look at that, I'm like, man, God's mercy was upon this man, even though it says he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, that he walked in sin. So in that oppression probably just overwhelmed him. And this guy was a king. He'd seen victories, but yet he was downtrodden. He was discouraged. He was going to seek counsel. Now remember, Elisha here is dying. So he's on his deathbed. So he's going to talk to a viejito that's right, you know, just about to check out. That's how bad he's feeling. So here he is, just probably going through it like most of us do. Just show up to show up. We're just being obedient, right? But inside, we're dealing with something, and we're not really being affected because inside, we're not even here. We may be sitting in the seat, but we're on the phone, posting Instagram, checking OfferUp, right? We're no longer excited for the things of God. We're no longer wanting to witness miracles at the altar. We're no longer being broken for people that are coming in that are hurting. We're no longer believing God for victories. We're just accepting what he's giving us. What happened is we become complacent. And now what happens as Joash goes and he starts looking for the counsel of this man of God, he's looking for direction. Well, this man of God happens to give him direction. And we're going to see that here in this scripture. It says he was given a promise. When he showed up, Elisha had to have some type of strength because he was on his deathbed. And he said, get a bow and get your arrow. And he told him, he goes, now pull it back. Now, if you look at the scripture, it says that he put his hands on the king. So it was to signify God's strength. Now, when he pulled the arrow, he said to shoot it out the window, shoot it eastward. Now, if you look at it, eastward is towards the land that the Syrians had come in and invaded and taken from him. Now, back then, when you shoot an arrow, there was a declaration of war. Now, if you look, if he told him, he goes, get your bow, get your arrow, shoot it this way. The prophet had to put his hands on the king's to pull it back. See, that was to show him that there was victory, but it was coming from the Lord. Can you imagine this guy's like, what do you mean shoot an arrow? I'm coming to you because I don't feel right. Something's wrong. And you want me to shoot an arrow out the window. Well, back then, the prophets used symbolism. There were things that were symbolic, shooting arrows, cutting garments, ripping beards. This is what they did. I can't imagine that Joash was too familiar with that. But see, God gave him a promise through the prophet Elisha. How many know that God can give you a promise through a man? God can use a man to speak a promise over you. But you got to be listening. See, he promised them victory over his oppressor, the Syrians. Remember, the king of Syria oppressed Joash. And what he was doing, he was saying, no, you're going to go ahead and I'm giving you victory over this camp. Not only am I giving victory to you and your army, but you're going to go take back what they took from you. And it was a promise from God that he was going to get victory. See, the army had taken that land from him. They invaded it. But it was through the power of God that he was going to attain it. This promise from God was through Elisha. Now, sometimes, I know there's some people, I know in the beginning too, where we can get kind of mystical with God. I want to hear your voice. I want you to stand in front of me, God. If it's you, show me. Or am I the only one looking for that type of supernatural confirmation? But sometimes it doesn't come like that. Sometimes God will use a man of God who has maybe a direct connection, who maybe has been in prayer a little more, who maybe knows the word a little more, maybe who's been in that holiest of holies, in that secret place, to give you the word that you needed. Now remember that Joash came to this man. This man didn't go seek him. And us, sometimes we could be the same way. We could be going through something and seek counsel. I know that in the early stages of my salvation, I knew I had to get to church to speak to just a few guys. And I had to get direction because in my own understanding, it wasn't going to happen. You know, and what we have to do in those times is do that. We have to reach out to men of God. But when they talk to us, we have to listen. And we have to receive what they're saying. Because you got to understand that God will use a man. And when a man is giving you direction and it's coming from God, then you're getting the word that you needed from God, but it's coming through a man. Am I speaking to anybody here tonight? Or was this message just for me? So King Joash was given a promise. I know here that I've been given promises. Have you been given promises tonight? Sometimes God has to use a man to remind you about that promise. Because look at Joash was all discouraged. Joash was going through it. You think that he could see, you know, he was all excited, worshiping. Nah, he was barely getting by. That's why he came to seek that counsel. But yet he stepped into the presence of a man who had that connection to God that was going to remind him, no, God's going to give you victory in this situation. Put your head up. This is the same God that gave you victory before. He's going to give you victory again. Just understand that it's going to be the power of God. That's how it's going to happen. If you look at it, I said that he pulled that arrow and this prophet had to stand up. It was a symbolic. It was symbolic that it was God that was going to bring that victory. See, with that arrow getting shot into that camp, what he was doing is he was declaring war. Now, it was symbolic back then that when you shot an arrow, light it on fire, and you shoot it into the enemy's camp, that's how they know it's on. There's no turning back from that. You shoot an arrow, and it goes into somebody's camp, it's on. There is no turning back. This king, he was a king, went to the prophet, was downtrodden, going through stuff. That's how you know it's God. Downtrodden? I don't use those words. But so what happens now is he comes and he goes, take your bow and take your arrow. He goes, shoot. He grabbed his hands. They shot into that land. Not only the land that was taken, but it was the enemy's land. They had already invaded it. See, he was making a declaration. And he was going to receive this land back. Now, with the symbolism through that arrow, when he shot it out there, that was declaring war, but also promising him victory. He said, through this, you're declaring war, but you're going to have victory. That land that he took from you is coming back home. Look at how many people here today are standing on promises. How many people have been robbed by the enemy time and time again? Listen, how many family members out there are you still praying for that you were believing God to come to these altars and believing for a supernatural deliverance, but now you're like, all right, God, if they come, they come. Where's the passion and the belief and the faith? The faith in God that God can move mountains. The faith in God that God can cure cancer. The faith in God that God can raise the dead. Listen, we don't come here to just jump around and then go home and then do nothing. Listen, when he declared war, there's no turning back from that. They see that arrow, they go, all right, you want some then. He can't go and hide anywhere. But see, God promised a victory. With that arrow, he promised a victory. It was called the arrow of deliverance. But here's the thing. See, Elisha believed it. Elisha told him. Elisha was saying, look, you're going to have victory. You have to believe it. He pulled it back, and then he shot it. That was a declaration of war. King Joash was given a specific task. So the promise came with the task. Now, when you receive a promise, well, God's going to ask you to step out in faith. Now, it's up to you to determine how big your step's going to be, how big your faith's going to be. And with this king, he said, the scripture says, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him. So he was told to strike the ground again, symbolic. Now, this was symbolic of the victories that he was going to gain. But what happened is all he did was hit it 3 times. So we only had 3 victories. The reason Elisha was upset, because this guy came to him all down and God was promising victory. And when he told him, he goes, strike the ground, he only did it half-heartedly. So it wasn't even that he was like believing God. He did it 3 times. So there was something happening with this king that had seen victories, that was going through something, that went for a word from a man of God, that received a word, and still had a lack of faith. Sometimes we can go through things. I remember that early on, when we would have people coming in, I would go look for somebody to, hey, oh, let me introduce you to somebody. Let me introduce you to this person so that they can pray for you. Let me introduce you to this person right here so they can tell you about the word of God. When the whole time they could have stopped right there in front of me, I could have given them the word of God. I could have, look at, you have the same power that I have in me. Look at, God has given us power. Look at, God has given us promises. There's no reason why we should be half-heartedly. There's no reason why we should only be striking 3 times. God has promised you victory. Listen, God has given us promises. But maybe in our walk with the Lord, we become complacent. Maybe we stop believing God for those miracles. It's funny because when the promise was given, he was asked to do something. And the way he did it, it was with a certain weakened faith and disbelief. And this ministry, we don't deal with easy people. I don't know how else to put it. When I was delivered from drugs, I was delivered from drugs. I was all messed up. Gone. My kids couldn't save me. They tried, but it took the power of God. And when that happened, something happened inside me. A fire was lit. All of a sudden, I wanted to go out and believe God for everybody. We're praying in Ross. We're praying on the streets. I'm telling my family, Jesus can save you. They won't open the door, but I'm yelling it behind the door. Oh, there comes old Brother Albert, they would call me. One of them that used to make fun of me is my cousin Benji. You guys know him. But yet, me believing God for him for 9 years, God got a hold of him. I started believing God for miracles because I don't ever want to believe God for something so basic as just a raise. Not to say a raise isn't good, but man, I want to I want to experience healings at this altar. I want to experience people being delivered from drugs in this place. I want to experience the fullness of God in my life before he calls me home. Now, I was looking at this portion of scripture, and I'm looking, and I'm starting to look at this King Joash. And it convicted me. It convicted me because if you look at him, what happens is he knew God. But yet, somewhere, he lost the love, and it became familiar. It became business as usual. It became almost, you could be on autopilot and get here and get home just as good and not remember what happened in the service. And what happens is you start to lose the joy that God promises in that moment. I think what has to happen is our faith has to increase, and the way our faith is going to increase is by witnessing miracles of God. Are you still believing for your promises tonight? Are you still believing God for miracles in this place? Listen, we have to be those type of people. Elisha was angry with this guy, because he came and he needed something. God showed up through a man, and yet he still showed his disbelief. I believe that what was happening is this man had given up, but he was still obedient. Now, we can give up, but still show up. We can give up, still usher. We can give up and still serve. But really, how is anybody going to experience the power of God through that? How many people are really going to come into this place and believe that this is a house of hope and freedom? It starts with our faith. What do you believe in God for today? Are you still believing God for those promises that he first gave you in the beginning? Are you still believing God for healings? Are you still believing God for miracles? Where's your faith at tonight? Are you like this king who is only going to strike it 3 times and be like, all right, God, if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. We can never fall into this complacency as Christians. And I look at it and I'm like, man, this is heavy because it's so easy to do. We can show up and just keep going on autopilot. But yet we're not effective. We're not doing much. We're just sitting here. We're just showing up. But what happens is that can be contagious. It can be contagious. What we should be is a people of faith. I know this month has been about increasing faith. Increase, but I believe that it starts with faith is what we have to increase. We have to believe God for the supernatural. We should be getting excited when pastor starts casting vision out there. Not only grabbing a hold of it, but just, man, believing it. We should be able to see that vision too. We should be able to see a campus. We should be able to see a women's home. We should be able to see our family in this place. If you look at King Joash, another thing I just wanted to address is the Bible says he walked in sin, but God's mercies were still upon him. Even though we're here, we could be doing things that we shouldn't be doing, that we know we shouldn't be doing. God's mercies will be upon us, but only for so long. See, the thing about studying for a message and getting into the Word is, again, you let God deal with you before. And I look at this and I'm like, man, God, increase my faith. Increase my faith so that I can believe for the people that are out there dying. Increase my faith so that we don't lose a backslider. Increase my faith so I start believing for those that have left. increase my faith, that I can walk into a place and I see somebody sitting there broken, that somebody's sitting there broken with the hopelessness, that I could come in and give them the word of God and see the power of God consume them. Increase my faith that I could step out and I can tell somebody about Jesus, but all of Jesus, unfiltered, with conviction. You know, God responds to faith. This was something that, as I looked at, I was like, man, I was looking at a story about a man who came in and was just, had given up. Started reading, and I was like, man, you know, the story started getting good, and I started reading, like, man, what's wrong with this guy? God's giving him victory, and he's over here being a man. You know, how many of us would like that type of assurance from God to show us before we step out, right? God, we want to see the staircase before we take a step. But God was showing this man victory through a prophet as we stand. He was showing this man what he had went for. He went for encouragement, for counsel. Things were weighing heavy on him. But symbolically, what he did is he showed him he was going to give him victory. And not only just victory, but he was going to give him victory over the very army that invaded a part of his kingdom and took this land. So it was symbolic. It wasn't just firing an arrow just to fire an arrow. He was declaring. Was, look, you may have got me for the moment. You may have took something from me this time. But as he pulled back that arrow, if you look at it, sometimes they say they light it on fire. That's the declaration. And it lands into the land that they're declaring war. But it wasn't just anywhere. It was getting shot in the very land that this army had stolen from him. And what he did is he shot it out. Elisha said, shoot. He shot the arrow. He said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. What he was doing, he says, don't worry what they took. Don't worry how big they are. Don't worry how much they oppressed you before. Don't worry about what they said about you, that I am God who's got your back. And that we're going to declare war, and you're going to get back what they took from you. That does not belong to them. It belongs to me, everything. But you have to trust me. But yet this man still had a problem trusting God, because he only hit the ground 3 times. What that showed is that showed that he was only doing it half-heartedly, and he didn't really fully believe God. That he was there, but he's like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Pastor, yeah. Sure, Larry, sure, yeah. No, I'm in. Oh, yeah, we're going to believe God. What, a campus? Oh, man, praise the Lord. Man, I want my faith to be as big as my pastor's faith. I want my faith to stir me up so much that I'm willing to leave my home and travel far into the desert, because I trust God for my life, not only for my life, but for my family's. He didn't come out here alone. I believe that God has promises for each and every one of us in this place. What are you believing God for tonight? Listen, the arrow's going to be shot tonight. Tonight we're shooting the arrow. It's going into the enemy's camp. But it's going to be up to you how many victories that you're going to receive. How many times are you going to hit the floor? How many times are you going to believe God? Listen, his promises are still here. I said, God, increase my faith. Because if you can increase my faith, man, I can take a trip to Ohio with Pastor Danny and believe God for those people. I want to see miracles in this place. I don't want to just hear about the things that can happen. I want to see the things happen. Listen, God responds to faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Psalms 9:10 says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Look at Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible for God. 2 Chronicles 20:20, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. And one of my favorites, Romans 1:17, for the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written that the righteous shall live by faith. Come on, somebody. Where's your faith at tonight? Tonight we're going to have an opportunity to believe God. Are you going to believe him for miracles? Or are you going to step up here and say, all right, God, if you do it, good. If not, I'm good with that too. I lived my life like that for too long, and I've lost people because of it. Tonight my declaration, my arrow's been shot. And I lit it on fire. The devil's going to give me back everything that he took. I want to tell you right now that I'm standing up here in victory because God has given me victory. I want to tell you that you have victory in this house tonight because God has given you victory. But you have to believe him. You have to believe him. It's by faith. It's by faith. Are you guys ready? I got my arrows. How many times are you going to strike the ground? I'm still believing that God raises the dead. So tonight, this altar call is going to be for those who want to increase their faith and still believe God for miracles and still believe God for the promises that he made to them when he saved them. Are you believing God tonight? Are you trusting God tonight? These altars are open as the worship team sings.